Romans chapter 5, and for our scripture reading, we're just going to look at two verses, verses 12 and verse 19. Paul writes, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned." And verse 19, "For as by one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous."
Before we look at the scripture this morning, I would just like to share a thanks to this church body for all the labor and all the effort of last weekend and the anniversary services. And it truly was a blessing, and praise God that we had opportunity to serve one another, but also to serve many guests that came, and it truly was a blessing. I don't know if I'm looking forward to the 100th anniversary, so I'm praying now that the 100th anniversary will take place in heaven, and we won't have to worry about it down here. We'll be up there, and praise God for that. Let's bow our heads right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we truly come into your presence with thanksgiving this morning, and as our thoughts have been turned to you and your greatness and your majesty and your supremacy, O God, it just gives us a view of who we are and who you are. And when that takes place, God, our lips have to open in praise and thanksgiving. Our hearts have to turn to you in great gratitude, and we're thankful. And now, Father, as we open up the Scriptures, we are ever grateful, God, that you have faithfully and diligently given us this Word. We have it before us. It's settled in heaven. And, God, it's used by you to transform us and to change us, to move us to think of you and to know you better and to love you deeper. Father, thank you for it. And even today, as we continue our study, God, help us. May our thoughts be toward you, this truth that's before us. And God, by the Spirit within us, we pray for that work of sanctification to take place. And may we just be just lifted up, not exalting in ourselves, but exalting you. And realizing, God, that you've done so much for us through Jesus Christ. So we praise you, we thank you. Help us now as we study together. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're in Romans chapter 5 this morning, and I want you to follow me as I read that whole passage. Frederick read two verses, very important verses, and yet I'd like to read that whole passage, Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. And as I read this, and as you follow this morning, I want you to pick out words and phrases that are used over and over and over again in this passage, because this will help us to determine or to understand the theme of this paragraph. So Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19. Look what Paul says. "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, Much more, those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Now what we have before us this morning is one of the most deep and difficult passages that deal with our justification before God. And because it's deep and because it's difficult, it would seem necessary for us to try to understand right up front what Paul is saying, what Paul is telling us, what Paul's teaching us in this passage. Now, we'll look at this passage because we have finished our study in Romans 3 and Romans 4 and the first 11 verses of Romans 5. And all of these passages and all of this time that we've spent in Romans is to help us understand this doctrine of Christianity that we call justification by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I've said this before in the course of this study, and we've been here for several months. I've said it before, but I'll say it again this morning as clear as I can. Folks, there is no Christianity apart from justification by faith in Jesus Christ. There is no Christianity apart from that justification. We have no real part or connection to real Christianity or the one true God and His Son Jesus Christ apart from justification by faith. And that's why that we've taken our time in this study and we'll spend even several more weeks looking at this subject of justification by faith. Now, when I read the passage to you this morning and you followed along, did you notice the words and the phrases that Paul used over and over in the passage? He talked about Adam. He talked about one man's offense. He talked about the gift of God by one man, Jesus Christ. He talked about judgment and condemnation through one offense. He talked about one man's disobedience. He talked about one man's obedience. And so the point then of Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19 is this, that the obedience of Jesus Christ, obedience unto death, is the foundation of this imputed righteousness of Christ that comes to us through justification. Christ's obedience and His obedience unto death is the foundation of this righteousness then that's given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Let me say it another way, that the overall theme of this book of Romans from chapter 1 verse 17 to this point in our study has been this doctrine of justification through faith that is apart from works. And so believers then are declared righteous. They're declared to have a right standing before God, not on the basis of our inherent righteousness, but on the basis of Christ's righteousness that is given to us by God's grace through faith. Now in this paragraph that's before us, the Apostle Paul actually draws to a climax this teaching by explaining it more fully and actually giving us a comparison and a contrast between the effect of Christ's obedience and the effect of Adam's disobedience. Now, why would the Apostle Paul do this? Why is this important to us? Why do we need to know that there's a connection or there's this comparison between the disobedience of Adam and the obedience of Jesus Christ? Because Paul gives it in great detail. And folks, it's not an easy passage. It's a difficult passage that we need to slow down and we need to look at it carefully to understand what Paul's saying. Now, before we look at any of the details of this passage, we first of all need to understand today this very important comparison. So look with me at verse 14. Romans chapter 5, verse 14. Paul says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come." Now, we'll not worry about the context right now. We'll look at the context in the coming weeks, and that context is very important, and there's some details that are very important to us as we understand what Paul's saying. But I draw your attention to this last phrase of verse 14, because Paul is talking about Adam here, and he says, Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. Now, what that means simply is this, that Adam, the first man, is a type of Christ. Paul says that Adam is a type of Christ. This word type that we see in our English translations, it means a pattern, an example, a foreshadowing, a prefiguring. And so the Apostle Paul then is going to present to us Adam, who is a type or a pattern of Jesus Christ for the purpose of comparison. If we're to understand what God has done for us through this work of justification, then we need to understand what Adam did. And how what Adam did is so important to every person who sits in this room today. As a matter of fact, so important to every human being who walks on this planet today. And Paul gives us truth to help us understand that. So Paul's going to compare and contrast the first man, Adam, with Jesus Christ. And his purpose is to help us see more clearly and more fully and more deeply the work of Jesus Christ and how Jesus became the foundation of our justification. So then why does Paul bring in Adam, the first man, and talk about his sin and how it affected the whole human race, and then compare that to Christ and his righteousness and how that affected all those who were in him? Why does Paul do this? See, we need to ask this. We need to answer this as we work through this passage. Let me mention to you right now one reason, and then you'll actually see many other reasons connected with it. So Paul explains the obedience of Jesus Christ as the remedy for the damage done by the disobedience of Adam. Because Paul wants us to see that this doctrine of justification by grace through faith is not limited to one people group or one place or any one time in history. See, when we begin to talk about this doctrine of justification by faith, it's not limited. And Paul wants us to see that, and that's one main reason why he now connects this with Adam. Adam, the first man. Adam, the first who was created by God, the first man. And so it's relevant and it's essential for all people in all places at all times. Wherever there are descendants of Adam, then there is a need to know this truth of justification by God's grace through faith. And when we talk about the descendants of Adam, who are we talking about? Everyone. We're talking about the world. And so we begin now to even put some things together in regards to the gospel and where the gospel goes and why the gospel is necessary to go throughout this planet, because we're all descendants of Adam and we're all affected by Adam's decision of disobedience in the Garden of Eden. Every one of us. So the damage done by Adam's sin affects every human being in every place at all times. Now let's be personal. That means that every person in here today has been affected by Adam's sin. Often I will say it this way, every person has been infected by Adam's sin. Every person here today. And do you realize that your actions and your attitudes and your responses and your words and every part of your life is affected by what Adam did? Every one of us. And so now we'll see by this comparison in Romans 5 that the obedience of Jesus Christ and the imputing or the counting of that obedience to all who believe is the remedy for the damage done to all human beings everywhere by the sin of Adam. And folks, there is no other remedy. There is no other salvation from the fatal damage done by Adam to all human beings. There is no other cure but Jesus. Now, let's step back just for a moment based on those statements, and let's think about this carefully, because the implications are staggering. First of all, this means that Jesus Christ is very great and worthy of our greatest trust and love and praise and joy and satisfaction. Jesus Christ deserves that. He and He alone has lived and died in such a way that it can remedy the deepest problem of sin for any human being anywhere who trusts in Jesus. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus has done. A second implication of this comparison between Jesus Christ and Adam is that Jesus Christ is not some local remedy for man's problems. In other words, Jesus Christ is not some tribal deity or some local God. Jesus Christ is not the Christian God that comes alongside the Muslim God or the Hindu gods or the Jewish God. You see, what this means this morning as we look at these truths from Romans chapter 5 is that Jesus Christ is the universal Lord and Savior, and there is no other Savior. None. And the point of this comparison with Adam is to show that there is one fundamental problem in the human race that began with the first man, Adam, at the beginning, and that problem is sin. That problem is sin. And folks, the burden of this text, you see it in this paragraph, the burden of this text expressed over and over again is that the problem with humanity is not most deeply our individual sinning, and that is a problem. Amen. That is a problem because we sin individually. But yet when we look at this text this morning and as we study this text in the coming weeks, we'll see that this is not our most deep problem, our individual sins. But the deepest problem is the connection that we all have with Adam's sin. That's our deepest problem. Look at Romans 5:15. Look what Paul says. He says, "For if by the one man's offense many died," who is the one man here in this statement? Adam. Look at verse 16. "For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation." Whose one offense is Paul talking about here? Adam's. Verse 17. "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one," who's the one man here? Adam. Look at verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Who's the one man here? Adam. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And who is the one man who disobeyed? Adam. Adam. So the problem with the human race is not most deeply that everybody does various kinds of sins. And oh, folks, we do. We sin. And these sins are real, and they are huge, and they are destructive, and they are damaging, and we know that. And these sins are enough to condemn us. And this is serious, and Paul is concerned about it, but the deepest, darkest, most damaging problem is that behind all of our depravity and all of our guilt and all of our sinning, there is a deep, mysterious connection with Adam, whose sin became our sin and whose judgment became our judgment. And the Savior from this condition and this damage is one Savior, the only Savior who stands in Adam's place, as the Apostle Paul would say, the second Adam, Jesus Christ. And in one great life and one great death of disobedience, Jesus Christ undoes what Adam did. Jesus did that. Verse 19, Paul says, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. And if there is a statement from this passage that should bring rejoicing to the heart of every Christian today, it's this: so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. That's what God did for us through Jesus Christ. Notice then a third implication, and this actually moves through our very purpose as a church, Faith Baptist Church, making disciples of all the nations. Because do not think that this doctrine of justification by grace through faith based on the imputation of Christ's obedience is a teaching for people just in Western cultures or European cultures or American cultures. Because, folks, this truth is not limited to a certain group of people in a certain place at a certain time in history. Because it is the historical remedy in the person of Jesus Christ for the historical damage done by the first person of the human race, who is everybody's first ancestor. And a fourth implication is this. So then, do you see, just with a glimpse this morning, and you'll see it in the upcoming weeks, do you see how the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, is the foundation for all that follows? And folks, if you don't have Genesis right, you're not going to have the rest of it right. Amen. And you've got to have the foundation of Genesis. You see, without the true historical person of Adam, then Romans 5 is just wasted paper. It's wasted print. When Paul says here in Romans 5, and he makes this connection with Jesus Christ and Adam, what he says here is rooted deeply in what Moses writes in Genesis chapters 1 through 3. And so Paul has connected this whole doctrine of justification by faith in Jesus Christ with Adam. And Adam is the historical ancestor of every person, of every people group on the face of the earth, and every person who's here today. Adam is our ancestor. And you know what that means, folks? That means that this is not myth. It means that this is not analogy. It means that this is not an illustration. It means that this is historical fact, that Adam, the first human being, sinned, and in him all human beings sinned and all died and all are condemned. And the remedy for Adam's sin is another historical person, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came in space and in time to a place to undo what Adam did. And he trusted and he obeyed God perfectly so that all who are in him by faith have that obedience imputed or counted to them, and they become right with God forever through Jesus Christ. And what that means then is this, and this is our second main point today, that the righteousness of Jesus Christ is relevant to every one of Adam's children. And again, I'll try to be clear and plain. The truth of Adam's sin and Christ's righteousness is relevant and applicable to every person, every people group on the face of the earth, every person here, every person that you know. This is applicable. Now, someone might say, but what if you come to a people group that have no understanding of this connection? What if you share this connection with people and they have no comprehension of this connection with Adam that we have? What if you come to a people group or to an individual person who has no thought forms or understanding of this connection between humanity and its ancestors, or even the possibility of our sinning in the sin of another, or our being counted righteous with the righteousness of another? I mean, what if people don't understand it? What if they don't comprehend it? Well, my answer would be, we are that people group. We are those people. Because, folks, the people of modern America have great difficulty in understanding and comprehending this connection with our ancestor. As a matter of fact, it's probably easier for people and people groups in other parts of the world to understand this connection with the past than it is with people in modern America. We are those people. And therefore, it is the task of every believer and every pastor and every teacher and every preacher and every missionary to teach this truth of Adam and Christ. Adam and Christ. And folks, that's why I teach it to you this morning. And so what we've heard this morning then is this. Let me summarize it. First of all, the Bible says that our deepest problem is our connection with Adam and his sin and judgment and condemnation, and we all share in that as a part of the human race. In other words, you can't get away from it. You are human and you share in that connection with Adam and his sin and his judgment. Number two, the Bible says that the only remedy in all the universe for this judgment and condemnation is the justification that comes by the work of Jesus Christ, who was perfectly obedient even unto death. And number three, the Bible says that faith in Jesus Christ is the one and only way to be united to Him and be justified and accepted by God. Now, if you say this morning, but I don't understand this. I don't think this way. Pastor, I can't comprehend this. I don't follow you this morning. I don't follow what Paul was saying in this passage. Then please, please do this today. Ask God to help you. Receive by faith what you can understand. And ask God to give you more understanding. Ask God to remove the darkness and to remove the blindness and to help you understand the truth of His Word. Because, folks, God loves to save humble sinners. God loves to save those who come to Him in humility. God loves to save those who come to Him and say, I don't know everything, and I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. God will save people who come to Him that way. And God has never turned anyone away who asks and comes to Him. And so you don't have to understand it all at once, but if you desire to know the truth, then God has given you the truth in the Bible, and God will begin to give you understanding. Ask God to help you, and humble yourself before God, and ask God to help you understand these truths. Now, we're not finished. Well, we're finished for today, but we're not finished because we're going to look at this passage now for several weeks, because we need to look closer and we need to look deeper into the words of the Apostle Paul, because, folks, there is truth here that will change our lives and will change our eternal destiny. Romans chapter 5, verses 12 to 19, and we'll continue to look at this passage next week. Let's bow our heads. Father, we acknowledge that this word that is before us this morning is your word. And Father, it would be folly for us to think that we can understand every part of your word. It would be proud beyond measure for us to think that you, the Creator, you, the ruler of the universe, would give us this revelation and we could understand it completely and entirely. But God, how we praise you and thank you for that which we can understand, for that which you give us light, for that which you illuminate in our lives. We thank you and praise you. And Father, we have before us a passage that's not easy. And therefore, Father, we ask humbly that you will help us in the coming weeks to look at this truth of Romans 5. And by your Spirit, God, that you will give us these eyes to see and ears to hear, so that we would know the truth, and that truth, your truth, would do its faithful work in our lives. Father, we as your children need to understand the deepness of our need and the deepness of the solution, Jesus Christ. And even, Father, how it's connected to the first man, Adam. We need this. You've given it to us. Help us to understand. And Father, I pray if there's anyone here today who perhaps for the first time have heard things that they've never heard before, God, that you and your faithfulness would continue to draw them and bring them, and God would give them understanding. God, we know it must come from you. And we know if there's any change, if there's any transformation, whether it be in your children or those who've never heard, any change must come from you. So we rejoice that we can trust in your great mercy and your great grace to do what's right and to do what's gracious. Thank you, Father. May we now look forward with great anticipation to how you will teach us and how you will bring us closer to yourself, and through this truth know more of this great work of justification. We thank you, praise you, give you glory now. In the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen.